acknowledge that we have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. That's the beginning of our walk with God. That's the story of the church. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will diligently seek me. Chapter 6, verse 1 continues. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, and he will bind us up. Notice Ephraim and Judah are mentioned at the same time. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. Now chapter 6 verse 1 and 2 is important. Because either the 1, 2 and 3 days are just simply allegorical phrases, or their actual prophetic statement. Because history cannot find an actual fulfillment in this area. Jewish history cannot find an actual fulfillment, a historical fulfillment, in chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. It lasted more than 3 days. More than 2 days. Restoration was not in 3 days. Which is why many modern scholars believe that what is happening here is that God is putting what they call the 2000 year period of the church age. And that brings us back to the 6-day theory, where 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 comes in that to the Lord a day is as a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So that brings back to some theories that you may have heard of, where the church age, which we have mentioned, from the time the Jews were rejected until the time of the rapture, they say there is a period of 2 days, which is 2,000 years. That means that if you go by historical records, depending on how you date it, if you date it from the birth of Christ, which historically should have been 0 AD, but actually 4 BC, then it's up to 1996. Wait, don't panic yet. It's not true, okay? Let me say, that one is not true. Better mention it in case somebody go and take it out of context. Which is why you hear some people predicting all those funny dates coming up. Then, if you date it, you see, the 2000 year theory sounds nice. But remember, there will be errors if you fail in the wrong dating. That is why that fellow who wrote the book and said, 88 reasons why Jesus was coming in September 21st, 1988, and on September 22nd, we're still all around. So he changed it to 89 reasons why Jesus was coming in September 21st, 1989. But on September 22nd, 1989, we were still around. And he never wrote a third book. So he keep changing. However, if you time it from the death and resurrection of Christ, which occur, if that is 4 BC, would occur in AD 27. That brings 2000 years to 2027, which is still quite far up, but not quite that far up. Some of you who are in your 90s, thinking, oh, yeah, why so long, when? Wanted to see Jesus Christ coming in His cloud of glory. Some of you who are young say, oh, hallelujah, still a long way, can enjoy life. Repent. But I'm giving you all the calculations that people are using to try to predict the actual time. But as we do all these things, let's remember what Jesus said. No man knows the day, not the hour. Even the Son of Man doesn't know. So whoever claims to know is smarter than the Son of Man. So let's be scriptural about that. He said, brother, why can't we actually calculate. Because if you remember how prophecy is fulfilled in the Bible, that many times there is a period that they call the lost years. The lost years. For example, if you calculate in the time of Kings, when from the time that they came out of Egypt until the time that they built the temple, the Bible in the book of Chronicles dates it as about 400 odd years. But the actual counting, including the years in Judges, was much bigger than that. It's possibly about 800 odd years. Or 600, 800 odd years. I can't quite remember the figures. But the question is, why? What happened? Why did all those years in the book of Judges, why are they not counted? Because those years were called lost years. The Israelites were not under God. They were under oppression. So because of that, we do not know whether in the Gentile period there were any gaps that are uncounted that may change the dating period. Because of that, anyone who claimed 1996 or 2027 precisely at midnight, they even got it right down to the time. They say they know the exact day and the exact hour. Say, how? I know you can calculate the day from all those things, but by the way, how do you calculate the hour? Oh, Jesus said at midnight. A thief in the night. Say, oh, I see. They even got the hour all match up. But they have a problem. There are usually 24 midnights. Are you talking Japan time, Malaysian time, US time? So which time would Jesus use? Greenwich Median time. As we can see, we get into a very foolish area when we try to get into the day and the hour. It's not something you should get into. However, you could, to a certain scriptural way, based on Hosea 6 verse 1 and 2, that approximately 2,000 odd years, right? Plus and minus all the others that we were going to heaven and check all the heavenly record, and one of the I don't know whether he will have a special name or not, but there may be an accounting angel, CPA angel, who dates all the exact hour and time, and you could go to heavenly record and say, God, you said in your word 2 days, and he will show you, well, plus, minus, binomial theorem calculus, 2000 exactly. Right, he will be able to tell you that. And some of these details. However, I have a sense in my spirit that it's roughly possibly about 2,000 years plus or minus, right? And possibly we will pass the 2000 AD mark. So don't panic at 1999. Say, oh my God, we are now on December 31st, 1999. And Pastor Peter Tan said that there will be 2 days, which makes 2,000 years. And so they calculate from 0 AD, which was the wrong date anyway. And they are thinking, oh my, let's get all our house affairs correct, write all our will, everything. Why not write the will, everything? You're going to be caught up. And so remember that these are all approximate dates, but they are exact up there when you get all the details in. But God did not permit and has not permit us all details. He has given us approximations so that we are ready. We cannot tell the day or the hour. We are only allowed the season. We are only allowed the season. When you see the fig tree, then you can tell. That's called seasonal. And so we go on here in chapter 6. Says in verse 3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain. Look at that. That is the end time prophecy. Definitely this 2 day and 3 day thing is the end time prophecy. Say, what is the third day? The third day refers to the millennium period of 1,000 years. Which we all know that there's a gap. After the rapture, there's still a gap of the 1 week. So, let me put it all in order again, in case you're a bit mathematical. We have the 70 years, right, of Daniel. 70 years, and the angel say, oh, actually, those 70 years are 70 weeks of years. So, here we go again, 70 times 7. So, that means 490. However, because 7 of those years are still not fulfilled, and so far up to now, only 69 of the weeks have been fulfilled, which will be 490 minus 7. So we are left with 483 years. So 483 years from the time that the command went out to build Jerusalem, right up to the time that Jesus Christ manifests, was 483 years. Plus and minus all those missing years, etc., whatever. 483 years. And then Jesus Christ came, the Messiah. There is another 7 years. Normally it should have been added here to finish. But God took that 7 year period out of the place and put it somewhere here. And between that 483 and the last 7 to make it 490, God put that 2 days. The 2,000 year period. Then after the 2,000 year period, there's the last 7 years. After the last 7 years, then the 1,000 year. So you can see gaps and pieces here as we piece it all together in an orderly form. We realize that God does have a timetable. But He does not let us know the dates and the hour. We can only sense the season. Peter stood up in Acts 2 and said, these are the last days. And in the last days, God said all these things. That was nearly 2,000 years ago. Today we are still calling ourselves last days. My, this has been a very long day. The last days from Acts 2, now it's still last days. Somebody was sure to ask, brother, when is the really, really, really last days? One day to the Lord, it says 1,000 years. Now verse 4, chapter 6. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, now when God refers prophetically to Judah, He's talking about the remnant. O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, etc., etc. Talking about the wavering of God's people. And some of these things flow along in chapter 7, verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered. And the wickedness of Samaria, for they have committed fraud. Each one represents something. Israel representing the nation, Judah representing the remnant, Samaria representing the scattered, Ephraim representing the church. And it seems, if you read carefully chapter 7, it points to something that does occur in the last days that has actually taken place. Do you know that he's talking about the Laodicean church age? By chapter 7 verse 8, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. You read Revelations 2 and 3. And you realize that everything mentioned about Ephraim has taken place up to the Laodicean church age. But there's still hope. Then in the Laodicean church age, this kind of reference is only particular to the church in verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove. Now a dove is not supposed to be silly. A dove is a beautiful picture. But as I say, Ephraim represents the church. Why silly dove? What do you think about Laodicean? silly Laodiceans. You look at Revelations 2 and 3, and you could say that the church was there, and Jesus was outside knocking on the door of the church in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. And that door was the church of Laodicea.